Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Law Talk now, on Joy Drive.
Today on your Law Talk, we're going to be taking a look at assisted reproductive treatment. Joining me in the studio is Beck Dahl, partner at Nichols Family Lawyers, and Dr. Sarah Nowiski, who's a clinical and health psychologist and counselling services manager at New Life IVF. Beck and Sarah, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you, Warren. We're excited to be here.
Now, today's topic, not all single people or couples or thruples, for that matter, want to be parents, but many do, and they crave the pitter-patter of tiny feet. And for some of those who want to be a parent, it's not always possible to be the biological parent, which will often lead them to consider other options. And thankfully, there's many ways that this can happen. For example, one way is via IVF and another is through surrogacy. And today, Beck and Sarah are going to help us take the baby steps, don't you love that, into this world. Sarah, when we speak about IVF or surrogacy or something called ART, what does it all mean?
Sure. Assisted reproduction broadly refers to the many ways to assist people to achieve a pregnancy and have a baby, or to preserve their chances for having a baby in the future. So there's many ways in which family are formed. The key ingredients to making a baby is that we need an egg, a sperm, a uterus, and at least one parent. And these ingredients can come from two people or as many as four or five people. So common procedures that we use in ART clinics include artificial insemination, IVF, treatment with donor eggs, donor sperm or embryos, or surrogacy treatment. So there's a lot of options available.
Let's talk a bit more about surrogacy. Sarah, what do people need to know about the surrogacy process?
Sure. So just broadly, surrogacy refers to when a patient carries and births a baby for somebody else to raise. So the woman carrying and birthing the baby is known as a surrogate, and the person or couple who wish to be the parent is known as the intended parents. I think it's important to distinguish between two main pathways for surrogacy in Victoria. In gestational surrogacy, the woman who carries the baby cannot also be the genetic parent, so the egg must be from another woman, such as one of the intended parents or from an egg donor. IVF clinics regularly assist in this type of surrogacy arrangement and would step people through the process to prepare for that. In comparison, traditional surrogacy is when the surrogate woman can also use her own egg. So these arrangements can't be facilitated through IVF clinics in Victoria. Therefore, pregnancy is often attempted through self-insemination at home.
Beck, from a legal perspective, what are some of the key issues when it comes to surrogacy?
Yeah, look, I think, Warren, the number one issue that tends to come up is parentage, and so who's the legal child, the legal parent of a child that's conceived through surrogacy. So the couple who or the person who's going to raise the child, the intended parents, as we call them, won't actually be the legal parent of the child at the time that child's born. It'll be the surrogate and their partner if they have one. Now, thankfully, we have legal mechanisms that allow for the transfer of that parentage. So as long as your surrogacy arrangement covers off certain legal requirements, you can go through the county court here in Victoria. You can have that parentage transferred from the surrogate to the intended parents, and then the child will be issued with a new birth certificate that says that their parents are their parents.
So once a person or persons decides to embark on a surrogacy journey, what are the first steps? Like, what happens next?
We encourage all parties to the arrangement to engage in pre-pregnant counselling. So a lot of counselling happens basically first. We want to make sure everyone feels
That's
fully...
That's a good thing though, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. We want to make sure everyone feels fully informed and prepared about all the possible implications of going through surrogacy. So if you go through a clinic, then in-depth counselling processes occur, and we talk about expectations for the future, relationships, disclosure, support systems, how they envisage birth, many, many topics. If people are going through an IVF clinic, there's also a process whereby they must submit an application to a Victorian patient review panel for approval for the arrangement before the clinic can provide treatment procedures. So we step them through the whole process for that. If they're undertaking a traditional arrangement, then counselling and legal advice are still essential, as are medical screening processes before starting treatment.
So Beck, is there anything people need to be aware of from a legal perspective? Anything else?
Yeah, look, I think the other thing, Warren, is to understand the different, there's different types of surrogacy. And I think from a legal perspective, the real difference we talk about is altruistic surrogacy and commercial surrogacy. Mm-hmm. So commercial surrogacy is where people are paid and can make a financial gain effectively from carrying a baby, whereas altruistic surrogacy is more sort of out of the goodness of people's hearts, and they can get reimbursed for certain expenses but not make a financial gain. And I think the important thing to know is that in Australia it's illegal to engage in commercial surrogacy. Only altruistic surrogacy can happen in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that transfer of parentage as well, it's really important that you've complied with that legality of it being altruistic as well.
Does any money exchange, like in terms of, you know, medical costs and things like that?
There can be reimbursement of expenses, but there can't be a gain effectively.
Okay, so we've been focusing on surrogacy, a part of which may involve IVF. Sarah, what else do people need to know about IVF in this context?
Sure. So IVF just in general broadly involves stimulation of the ovaries with medication, ultrasounds and blood tests to track the monitoring of the cycle, and then a brief surgical procedure to undergo an egg collection procedure. So we would retrieve the eggs and then they'd be inseminated and made into embryos. Patients are all very unique, and therefore all of our interventions are completely personalised to their particular circumstances. So at New Life, for example, we would take patients thoroughly through a phase of preparing for treatment. So patients are stepped through exactly what's going to happen and meet each department, so they are completely prepared for their expectations and what's involved in and actively participate in the decision making about their care.
We're chatting with Beck Dahl, partner at Nichols Family Lawyers, and Dr. Sarah Nowiski, clinical and health psychologist and counselling services manager at New Life IVF, all about assisted reproductive treatment. Beck and Sarah, it all sounds very clinical and medical, and while part of it is, we're also talking about something which is highly personal and very emotional. We're talking about people and the possibility of new life. In light of this, how important are the personal relations between everyone involved, and what can be done to help the intended parents or parents, the surrogate and the egg donors, the sperm donors, and all the people that you've mentioned, what helps to help them get on?
Yes, relationships are absolutely the key component of successful outcomes. So good communication, I know it's a cliche, but is so essential in mm-hmm. all teams working together. So it's really a fundamental component. And we talk about this a lot in the pre-treatment counselling that we go through. Having trust and just genuine connections between parties is one of the most important things, because we can only prepare as much in advance as we can. And some things happen unexpectedly when you're going through a pregnancy or through a surrogacy arrangement. So just being able to talk well together at the time and to negotiate potential decision making is something that we focus on and support people through during their journey as well.
And Beck, what about from a legal perspective?
Yeah, look, I think in some ways, Warren, it's really similar themes, you know, that communication, that understanding. We often work with people who enter into surrogacy agreements from a legal perspective, or donor agreements with, you know, a sperm donor that they know, giving them sperm or an egg donor. And when we talk about them, it's really thinking, okay, what's this going to look like? What's the donor's involvement, perhaps a surrogate's involvement in the child, and really working together. And I think being flexible too, to understand, you know, what you think before the child's born might be different to after the child's born or through the pregnancy as well, and being open to continuing those conversations.
We're chatting with Beck Dahl, partner at Nichols Family Lawyers, and Dr. Sarah Nowiski, clinical and health psychologist and counselling services manager at New Life IVF. We're talking about ART, or assisted reproductive treatment. Just going back to IVF, Beck, what are the legal things that we need to consider when we're talking about IVF?
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that people always is the first thing they asked about, and I talked about this with surrogacy, is about who's the legal parent of that the child, because that's something that's really important to people. And look, it's something that's changed over time, particularly, you know, in for rainbow families. I think that there's been some real progressions in the law in terms of that. For example, what the law says is if a person has a baby, they're the legal parent of that child. And if they have a partner at the time that the baby's conceived, whether that be through a clinic or at home, that other person is the legal parent. And that was a real development, particularly for lesbian couples, that the other parent who didn't give birth to the child now has the same legal recognition on the birth certificate and everywhere else.
If someone is listening and considering becoming a parent via ART or considering being a surrogate, what's the best way to take the very first step? And similarly, if someone wants to become an egg or sperm donor, what do they first need to consider? Sarah?
We have some very clear and helpful information on our New Life IVF website and YouTube channel, which just provides general advice and information about all the third-party reproduction programs. And also we have links to external organisations such as Surrogacy Australia and VARTA website, which is a regulatory body in Victoria, so that would probably be a good place to start.
Beck, what are some of the key legal issues here in relation to ART surrogacy or egg and sperm donation?
Yeah, look, at the risk of really sounding like a lawyer, I think that getting legal advice is a really good idea. I think that, you know, you want to know before you enter into this what your rights are and what your responsibilities are, and that's whether you are the parent or the person who's going to be having the baby or whoever you are, you know, in the zoo of that child's life, really making sure that everyone's across rights and responsibilities and what they mean.
We've got a question from Alison saying, so can trans and non-binary folks have access to the services as well?
Yes.
There you go. Yes. That's a great answer.
Great answer.
Beck and Sarah, this has been incredibly helpful discussion. Thank you so much for chatting to us today. Beck, from a legal perspective, is there anywhere people can go for, you know, that initial legal advice and support?
Nicholslaw.com.au, Warren. No, look, we are happy to work with people with these issues. Also, as Sarah said, the website for VARTA is just a treasure trove of information.
VARTA,
which is the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority. And they have some great resources there for whoever you are, again, in the making of the child. So, yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of really good information out there. And the more information you can get, I think, the better.
Sarah, are there any other places people can go for other advice in relation to the parent journey?
I always recommend patients to seek their own specific and personal advice from their GP or fertility specialist. But there's also a very helpful independent website called Your IVF Success, which provides an overview of different IVF clinics in Victoria and the programs that they provide. So that can be helpful for patients to navigate.
It sounds like there's a lot of information out there if people do need it. And I love the fact that there's so much counselling involved as well.
Oh, it's so important. It's and look, you know, I often say people that have children the old-fashioned way aren't required to have counselling or anything that. So, you know, it's an amazing opportunity to have that communication before you start.
Beck and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on Your Law Talk today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Warren.
So Beck is a partner at Nichols Family Lawyers and Sarah is a clinical and health psychologist and counselling services manager at New Life IVF.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.